This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Welcome to The Undercard. This is episode 155. As always, we have host Brad, Jimmy, and Marv. And on the board tonight is Dave. To my left is Rochelle. And I'm Liz.
Yay, Liz.
What's up, Liz?
If you look at my contract closely, you will see that my name always must be said before Jimmy's. So make sure we get
we
that
broke
right
your
next
contract
time.
When we came here.
Make sure we get that right next time.
Your contract became null and void when we switched studios. You do know this, right?
No, that is absolutely false. I have fantastic lawyers. They did not allow that to happen, Jimmy. We actually restructure my contract with some extra little things.
Oh, really?
They will come up periodically as we move along. Trust me.
I'm very interested to see what that is.
Oh, they will. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Last weekend, we'll start off with last weekend. The Golden Gloves had an amateur event. I forget the exact name of the invitational, what it was called. But Buffalo Golden Gloves came
Golden
in.
Golden Gloves board member right there, folks.
That's right. came in to go against the Metro Detroit Golden Gloves. And so that was fun this weekend. And it was free. And it was some good matches, actually.
Did Michigan beat Buffalo?
You know what? I don't even remember the final tally, actually.
Jesus God.
Everybody wins. Going good so far. What I do remember, though, is the fight of the day, which was Maximilian versus Cortez Todd. And that's actually his name.
Maximilian
Mart.
Does he go by Max or does he go by Maximilian?
Maximilian.
Okay.
And Maximilian. What's his last name?
Mart.
Mart?
Mm-hmm.
Maximilian Mart.
And the kid looked 16.
Like a store in
there's
South
a picture
Detroit.
I posted.
Oh, that was the one that you. Yeah.
He looked 16, but he was 21.
Oh, that was that kid?
Yeah.
I thought he looked 12.
That
I mean,
kid's
honestly.
Name is bigger than he is.
That's right. But that was the fight of the day.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know if they tallied it at the end. So I don't want to. Yeah, they didn't tally it at the end.
Okay.
So how am I supposed to know something they don't tally?
Because I thought you would have, like.
Nope.
How did you score it?
How did I score the fight?
How did you? Well, how did you score?
I think it was a draw.
So you think so between the states, between the cities? Yeah.
I give Buffalo credit. They drove in that day.
Right.
And they said
back
it would
out.
Take 6 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not that bad. You cut through Canada. It's fine.
Did they all cut through Canada? Yeah.
What's that?
Did they all cut through Canada? I'm not sure. I didn't.
If they got here in 6 hours, they did. Because otherwise, it's going to take you like 10.
But that happened Labor Day. And then yesterday, David invited all the shows out from the Podcast Detroit Network, and we were at Blackfin, so I get to see the outside of Arts, Beats, and Eats.
Okay, yeah.
I got to walk past the Guess Who as they were playing Share the Land, which would probably be the only song I'd really want them to hear anyways, and I could actually see it perfect, so like you didn't need to buy tickets to get in. And then we went in, and David had people on for the show. We got to meet a lot of the cool shows that are part of the network and got to sit down with David and do their stuff. You know, it was fun.
Awesome.
So, and that was at the Blackfin. So.
Oh.
I do like that place.
Okay. I don't think I've ever been there.
And I was really surprised. It didn't turn into Jersey Shore.
You thought it would be.
Oh, no. You don't understand. So, like, we've done our events there, you know, off and on for 8 years now. And our events start at 5. Mm-hmm. And by like 7:30, 8 o'clock, we start breaking up. If we're still hanging out until around 9, that's when the Jersey Shore contingent starts showing up, and the collars like
start getting
just,
popped.
Well, you'll just be standing there, and your collar will just start to rise.
Like,
without, yeah.
All of a sudden, you hear a. Yeah, you exactly. look down and your collar just turned up.
Well, yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, yeah, you hear ding a 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 ding.
Oh, no, no, what you. Yeah,
pop goes the collar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it that's usually what it turns into. And it did not last night, which was kind of cool. I mean, by the time we were done, it was damn near emptied out.
Yeah,
it
was. Yeah.
Which leads to just a phenomenal ending to my night. But yeah.
Do you think that all the yuppies and the hipsters that were down there for Arts Beats and Eats scared away the Jersey Shore?
I don't know. It was Salt and Pepper cleaning it up last
night.
No,
I'm not going to lie. I think all of the black people probably scared away Jersey Shore. Because, okay. I mean, it which was, like, dude, I had some phenomenal, I'm like, why don't I, because I sat down at a table.
Right, yeah.
That's me. That's who I am.
Right.
And I'm like, so, first time here at the Blackfin, they were like, yeah. I'm like, why aren't you here more often? Like, well, we don't really come up into Royal Oak all that often. Why not?
Yep.
Yeah.
The parking situation was horrendous, too. Well, yeah, so I think the regular sub-Blackfin probably
didn't
make it. Did
you catch the article?
Huh?
$1,795 $50 tickets issued in Royal Oak.
Yeah, for Arts Beats and
Eats. Over Arts Beats and
Eats. Yeah, I have a friend who lives in Royal Oak. She refers to it as Arts Beats and Can't Use My Streets.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Whereas Bob goes with Farts Beats and Eats.
Oh, yeah. Well, that, yes, absolutely. This is how they fund the festival for next year.
Right.
Yeah. With what is what you said, $1,750?
$1,795. So, yeah,
so $1,800.
Almost $80.
$50 tickets.
No wonder they took it from Pontiac. It's a cash cow. Pontiac can't do anything right. So, like, they couldn't make money on it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Ferndale, or Royal Oak's going to make a ton of money on it.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so show ends 11 o'clock, and when I had parked the car at the lot across the street, you know, it was a valet situation because they were putting cars everywhere. And I gave the guy my – and I said, okay, look, now I'm going to be here till at least 11 o'clock tonight. We've got shows going on until, you know, at least 11, so I'll be around at 11. He's like, no problem. We'll get you – you know, life's good. So Bob walks out at, like, 11:15, and I get a text from him that's like, dude, there's nobody here. And he parked at the same lot. And it's like, I get up and I jump up and I go running across. And sure enough, there's nobody at the lot.
Oh, boy.
But there's, so I go to my car and there's a little, like, they brought the cars back, which was cool of them. And there's a little note on the cars that says, hey, your keys are at Bastogne. Cool enough. We walk over to Bastogne. They closed at 11 o'clock. And it's like 11:30 now, and they left a phone number on the little tag that they left on the cars.
It was a treasure hunt to get your keys.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, Bob's calling the phone number. I'm banging on the doors like a madman. I'm looking around for a cop because I'm like, can we file a police report about this? Like, can we make the cops go get somebody? At like 11:45-ish, like the last person that was there at Bastogne, like one of the cleaning crew, like staggers their way up to the door and was like, sup? Like, yeah, are our keys here? Oh, yeah, dude, that dude left your keys here? Yeah, hold on, man, let me go take the... Oh, wait, you guys have, like, tickets or something? Like, I shouldn't just give keys away. Like, yeah, well, Skippy, here's our claim check.
Right. At least he had the presence of mind to know that.
Right.
So they'll just bring you, like, a bowl and go, dude, here, just find yours.
Just take the Beamer keys and walk around until you hit the right one, dude. So that was how hard it is. That was a nice little panic attack to wrap up.
Wow, yeah, that's fantastic. It's the last thing you want to see. I've lost my... lost my car once in Joe Louis Arena parking structure just because that thing, whoever engineered it, just had no sense. And when I got to the Joe Louis Arena, I realized right away that I had forgotten where I had parked, and that was a nightmare because they close at like 2, and you know, you're trying to find your car.
Right.
Yeah.
Just walking, and it's zigzagging back and forth. What a mess.
That sucks. Part of like going anywhere.
Did you find it eventually?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I absolutely hate
it. Joseph, this is Brad. You're live on the undercard.
Who is this?
This is Brad.
Were you working at Bastogne last night by any chance?
This is Brad from the undercard. Whoa. You're on the air. This is Brad from the undercard. You're on the air.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, not much, man.
What's going on, man? I'm at my son's football practice, so forgive me.
Oh, no problem.
Best show ever.
Is this a bad time, or can we roll ahead?
No, not at all. Not at all. I was getting ready to leave anyways. I just was waiting for my wife to show up.
Okay.
You know, we go from one sport to the next sport.
Well, we're joined by Joseph Battaglia, and if we're talking to him, it must be TXC. It's happening again this weekend. I don't want to sell the card because you know more about your card than anybody, but I know you put on some of the best shows in the state. Tell us what people can expect if they come out to Novi this weekend.
Well, we got a huge card. I mean, we have see, 13 amateur fights, or 13 pro fights and 4 amateur fights. Hang on 1 second, guys. I'm going to walk away from you. Joe, guys, I'll see you tomorrow. All right, sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
Just walking off the field. I'm sure the wind's blowing in here. Yeah, but we have a stacked card. I mean, we have probably 5 different fights that could be main events. We got a couple of guys that were top line, you know, amateurs that have now made the jump to pro. So it's exciting. You know, we have, let's see, who's our main event? Adrian Hajimei is fighting Kyle Nelson, the number one ranked fighter out of Ontario. He's 6-0. He's undefeated. You know, Adrian's 4-0, so it should be a real exciting fight. I don't know. I'm sure you guys have seen Adrian fight. You know, he was on the last card. So,
oh yeah.
You know what kind of energy and what kind of crowd he brings.
Yeah, everyone shows up. He sells tickets, and you know everyone's backing his nationality and everything. There's flags everywhere. It's just absolutely crazy.
Hey, it's pandemonium.
Yeah,
you've never seen it. It is absolutely incredible.
And this one's Canada too. So though. You know, you'll see the Canadian flag flying that night, too. So,
yeah.
The Albanian and the Canadian flag.
I see a rumble happening in the audience.
And then tonight we have on Connor will be on, and then we have Mo. He's actually coming in studio, and that fight's been jarring back and forth on social media. A lot of people are expecting that. Mo moves a lot of tickets, obviously. Corey does, too, with Jacked and Tan team. I mean, you're pretty excited for that fight, I imagine, and probably ready just for those two to shut up, probably.
Who's Corey?
Yeah, it'll be an exciting fight. You know, you got two teams that really don't like each other. So whenever you have, you know, teams that there's genuine dislike, it makes for an entertaining fight because, you know, MMA in Michigan is pretty close-knit, so a lot of guys do get along. Even though they, you know, they're going to fight each other because it's something they need to do to move on. The bottom line is, you know, when they don't like each other, it just makes for a much more compelling storyline.
Now, do you put thought into like having such a big event in which that you're going to start at about 3:30, maybe in real time 4:30? How you space it out an event? How much planning goes into that to keep the attention span and stuff like that?
Well, that's everything. To be honest with you, I don't imagine that we're going to have the whole crowd the whole night. You know, so our amateurs are first. The doors open at 3:00. The first fight's supposed to start at 4:00, where pros start at 6:00. So the amateur card should be about 2 hours. There's 4 fights. So that's how we have it planned, where that should last about 2 hours. And then we have 13 pro fights, which we're trying to do a much better job at getting through the fights. But we used to interview everybody. We're not going to do that. We're only going to interview, you know, the main fights on this card, not, the undercard, because we want to be done by 11 at the latest. You know, between 10 and 11 would be great.
Yeah, and I mean that.
Yeah, people want to go to their after party, hang out with people. They don't want to be at a venue until 1 o'clock in the morning. It's just, it's not any good for the fans. They want to hang out with the fighters, and there's nowhere they can hang out, you know, 1:30 in the morning where they got half hour to spend with the guys. So our philosophy on starting earlier is if we're doing a Saturday show, let's just start earlier so we could be done earlier and the guys can go hang out and do whatever they want.
Plus, for a guy whose bedtime is 10 o'clock, 11 is an hour past, you know, so right. I got to get home and get to bed.
But we appreciate you. I know you got to run to another interview, too. We'll be there this weekend, if you don't mind, and hanging out with you guys. And you always put on some of the best shows in the state. Very anxious to check it out. And we'll do a full report on it next Tuesday. We'll be doing interviews on site, some video interviews, and we'll be doing some post interviews. So thank you so much for joining us, Joe.
All right, guys, thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. That's Joseph Battaglia, one of the nicest guys in the business.
Yeah.
TXE happening this weekend, Novi Saturday. That's my biggest complaint about the amateur MMAs, and you know what, even the pros, like when you go, like UFC's a long day. If you go to a UFC fight and stick it out, oh my God, is that a long day. And they kind of have this attitude, well, UFC's trying to get a lot of fighters' fights, but sometimes people think the bigger the card, the more rewarding, or people feel like they're getting their money's worth. But, man, when it comes 1 o'clock and there's 4 fights left and you're just wore out.
I know. I mean,
those are probably the ones you really want to see.
Right. Those were the main events you wanted to see.
You've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and you don't want to leave because those are the ones that you want to see. But you're like, God dang, you know. I mean, I that's why I like what Joe does about starting earlier too. But at some point in time, you got to say, you know what? Do we really need 13 fights? You know what I'm saying?
Well, a lot of them move the tickets though. So like,
no, I know, and I understand that. I
understand
that
problem too.
Yeah.
But so I like it. He's calling 11 o'clock wrap up time. Should we do an over and under on that?
Yes, I'm gonna say 11:30.
11:30. So yeah. You're going over?
I'm going over.
Marv, over under?
I'm gonna go 12:10.
12:10.
Oh, oh wow!
Dude, have you not educated them on what over under is?
Yeah, over under. Just say over. Over 11 o'clock. Take the bet over or go under.
Well, I understand what over under was, but when Jimmy picked a time, I just went
you
with
call
it.
Your
I, thought
shot.
We were, I thought we were picking
so
times.
You were going to be consistently wrong.
Yeah. That's well, sure. Why not?
Well, I was picking my shot though. I mean, I was going over, but I was picking my shot.
I'm going to say
doesn't it pay out more if you pick your shot?
No, no. I mean, it would be what the odds are of it happening.
Gotcha. And,
actually, the underdog would be to in before 11.
Right, yeah.
Because it, how often does that ever
and
happen?
And the only reason I'm saying over is because of, and I'm going to forget his name, the Albanian.
But I'm thinking a lot of knockouts, though.
But no, I'm saying it's going to take a half an hour
for him to get to the ring.
For him to get to the ring, and then another half an hour for them to disperse the crowd enough they can actually start.
No, don't say that. No, I like the enthusiasm.
I do too. I do
like
too.
That.
But you've been there. You know what I'm talking about.
We've had ring girls, and it's not been at Joseph's show. But
no.
We've had ring girls where they've been touched in the ring, and like all of a sudden the ring
no.
had a million people.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Like, yeah.
They'll like jump in there when they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we had to have Jimmy be all mean and push him through the crowd and get him to the bathroom.
But the second time we went, though, they had people standing there. So.
Right, yeah.
Well, we had planned accordingly.
Right.
So this time we were like, you know.
We told the one guy, and he, like, just blew it off. But the second time that we came back, like, he made sure that there was people there.
Right,
and
yeah.
And there was no one allowed to even come
to
the stage.
Yeah, there was that one, I don't remember, I think it was a boxing event that I had to break through the crowd and then lead the ring girls out the one side and then around the other side because there was just too many people there and they're all pushing in on the ropes and the ring girls were kind of like standing with their arms like in they couldn't move. It was just so bad.
I just realized this too. Best compliment we've got, you know, hey, we're the Jimmy Fallon of, you know, what we do.
Right,
we make fighters feel comfortable in the show. I just realized we're bringing a fighter here in a few minutes that's cutting weight, and we just brought in pizza. And we're going to be mowing. So we might not be the most polite people.
I won't.
Oh, yeah, you're on your diet. How's that going, Jimmy?
It's actually, I mean, it's going okay, you know. I don't know. Like, it's really weird for me because, like, I don't lose, like, when I start on a program, I won't lose any weight. Like, if I take measurements, if I take weight, if I do whatever, for, like, the first 2 weeks, it'll be at zero. Neither up nor down, no change. And then if I stick with it, after 2 weeks, all of a sudden, it's just a rapid change. So there's that. Those first 2 weeks is just kind of like a weird, kind of like, I can't tell if it's working or not because I won't know until the end of this week, and then all of a sudden I'll start seeing it, you know, going smaller or the weight going down or whatever.
That's okay. It's just more pizza
plus,
for me and Dave and
right.
Marv.
Plus, it's funny because the program that I'm doing is a dance program. And
that's hilarious.
No, it is.
A dance program.
No, no, no. It is. So it's really funny, too, because he teaches you a routine that'll end up going to a popular song.
Is it called the Slap and Tickle?
No. The one that I'm doing right now actually goes with Bruno Mars' Treasure. But my niece and nephew are watching me do it. My niece and nephew are watching me do the routine when I was at my parents' house over the weekend, and they were laughing hysterically the entire time.
It's going to be great.
Of course they were.
It's
going to be great when you get to your workout next week and he puts on What in the Butt.
You know what? I would
He's
not
like,
be surprised.
Come here, Jimmy.
The Blue Oyster Bar.
Yeah. No, but you know what? Honestly, like, yeah, I know that, you know, joking aside or whatever, it's actually a really good workout. I sweat so much.
I'll bet you do.
Probably from nervousness of what people think of
dancing. You know what? And that's just it. Is like, I that's why I do it in the privacy of my home,
it's
so nobody can see it.
It's just dancing along with songs.
Well, it's he that's teaches
Zumba.
You a routine.
I was about to say it's like Zumba.
It's like Zumba, except Sean T, the guy who actually did it, was a backup dancer for like Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Bruno Mars, a bunch of other like superstars. He was an actual professional backup dancer.
You just don't know when to stop digging, do you, Jimmy?
I don't care.
You know what?
Honestly, I don't care.
I'm going to put all your technology and your diet and all this stuff that you had there, and I'm going to put it against Rochelle here.
Okay.
And Rochelle's going to – we're going to find Richard Simmons' deal a meal.
Okay.
We're going to let you guys go off and just like – and see who has the greatest take. I would do it, but medically it's just not going to work.
Me and Jimmy?
Yeah, his scientific diet that involves some Zumba, and we're going to get you Deal-A-Meal with Richard Simmons.
What makes you think I want to do Deal-A-Meal?
So, Brad, did you just
prove it? It was
did
a good
you
product.
Just essentially
never,
tell...
Never tell a girl to go on
yeah,
a diet.
Did you just tell Rochelle she needs to go on a diet? Holy shit! That was, like, you, all right, I've known you for a while, Brad.
Don't
you
turn
have,
out my supporting Richard Simmons
listen,
into something
listen,
bad.
I have known you for a long time, you're and like, you have
oh
done some, you have done some dumb shit. But that, my friend,
oh my God,
has to be the dumbest.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow.
Oh. Oh.
Well, I meant it in a good way. How about that?
There is no way.
There's no way you can come out of this, Brad.
I meant that in a good way.
I was saying that she could accomplish it if she had goals. We were putting the Richard Simmons proven Deal-A-Meal system.
You know, Rochelle, if you had some goals, your ass wouldn't be nearly as big. You know, you just need some goals that you can achieve, and I'm here to support you in those. Why don't you do Deal-A-Meal?
And you're...
You're turning a pro Richard Simmons statement into something.
Expressed by Bradley Snyder, do not necessarily represent the
the opinions of Marv, Dave, or Jimmy.
Oh my God! We were fine until Marv.
Hold on, no. So, the program that I'm doing right now. Yeah, the program that I'm doing right now is part of a challenge group. I'm the only guy. That's doing it. I'm doing it as a favor for my friend who actually created the challenge group. But my competition is actually the other people who are in the challenge group to see who has the most change between week one and week four is when the challenge group ends. So right now I'm actually not in the lead because, like I said, it takes 2 weeks for anything to change with me. But I hope, because I'm also a guy, and for some reason guys tend to lose weight faster, that I will end up in the lead by the end. So we'll see.
So you're cheating.
You know what you got to do? Just give backhanded comments to the women like that.
No.
And they'll just they'll
well, no, because
themselves.
We have to post, like, videos of us doing it. And, like, you know, they'll post videos of them doing the routine. And I'm like, wow, they actually look really good. And then you put me on there. It looks like a, you know, clumsy, hurting elephant just – stomping around, so
you look like the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Around. Someone get him his insulin.
Yeah. pretty much.
Jimmy,
yeah.
Did your pee smell like Sugar Smacks?
Oh God, yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Boy.
So far so good. We'll see how it goes.
Rochelle, how's Deal-A-Meal going?
I'm glad I came in at that time.
Yeah.
Wow.
As we have pizza out there.
Exactly.
I'm sure there was a pizza card on Deal-A-Meal.
I'm sure there was. It was a very big one.
You took my pro Richard Simmons statement and made it.
I didn't do anything, dude. You.
I was saying there was probably just as much technology in eating healthy meals as what Jimmy's doing.
That is not what you said. You said Rochelle has a big ass and needs to go on a diet.
I did not say that.
That is what you said.
It's more implied,
right?
Rochelle, is that not what you heard?
I would just move on, Brad. You're not going to dig yourself out of this.
It's this kind of miscommunication that you know is we're not seeing eye to eye, Martha. You know, it's like you know,
Rochelle. I want you to remember that it was Brad that said that. I think your ass is perfect.
I didn't say anything. Yeah, she
given
walked in at the right time.
Given
she knows
the
exactly what I was talking about.
I would like to wear it as a hat.
The show has reached a new level.
Well, no, I wanted to bring Mo in after our first break here, so we'll queue up our first music break. I feel bad, Mo. We're eating pizza, and I know you're cutting weight, man.
You should feel bad.
I know. We're normally a really nice show.
In solidarity, I will not eat any pizza.
But we're going to go to our first music break, and we'll be back here and talk the big fight, TXC.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Here we are.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Oh,
and we're back.
Welcome back to The Undercard.
I just put the headphones on at the end of my one of my favorite songs.
As Marv's the one that picked that song.
Did you get a record of the Edmund Fitzgerald, too?
I did.
All right, good. That'll be the song that plays us out because we don't want people committing suicide during our show.
That's just that'll be the fitting end for the show. Right, so far.
This show
has been sinking, and yes, exactly.
You should have played that as soon as he told Rochelle to get on Deal and Neal. It should have just been.
We are joined in he's hitting quite the interview circuit here for the fights. Mo El Shatri. I'm sorry, I pronounced names horrible. But you got a big fight going against Connor Cuppy, and this happens this weekend. You guys are huge ticket sellers. You guys are great for the sport, and it's been fun to watch your verbal sparring from a distance. How'd this fight come about? Who approached you, Joseph Battaglia, or was it something coming for a while?
We went at it for a while between me and Corey at first, and then Connor got involved in his team, my team sort of thing, Michigan Top Team, Jack and Tan. And it just sparked from there, and, you know, TXC was the next show coming up, so that's when it was going to happen.
Now, sometimes when, you know, there's healthy competition, you know, team versus team. Is it still a healthy sparring back and forth, or has it crossed that line?
Yeah, is it personal
What's your
now?
Definition of healthy? It's definitely personal.
It's okay. Yeah. How? I mean,
win or lose, does it end on Saturday?
Are there going to be hard feelings, win or lose, at the end of Saturday?
Do you congratulate him whether you win or lose on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm a good sport. I congratulate everybody, win or lose. It doesn't matter. I'll shake his hand afterwards. But before the fight, he's not getting a handshake.
Oh, that's for damn okay.
Sure. No touching of the gloves, which I hate that anyways. You're in there to take care of business, and I've never believed in touching gloves, whether it be I hate the Nevada rule in boxing where you got to do it in the 12th round. I've never been a fan of the touching gloves. At the end, hug, do whatever you got to do. And then last time I saw you out at TXC, you won by – it was a brutal kick knockout, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Probably the knockout of the night for sure. The guy went down. His name escapes me off the top of my head.
Luke Nessa.
Yeah. But very impressive win and stuff like that. And from the first time I have seen you, you've grown leaps and bounds as a MMA. Talk about what's going on at Michigan Top Team. I know Javier, a good friend of ours, is now involved with it. We've known Fish for a long time. We've known Darren for a very long time. Cody held the record for being on the show. I mean, we couldn't get rid of him for like 19 times. And, but we love Cody. But tell us what's going on there at your camp and what's led to this development.
I mean, I started training with Darren a few years ago, and we were just training out of a garage. And, I mean, since I met him, he's been like an older brother, you know, and he's always been there for me, whether it's in the gym, out of the gym, for MMA, not for MMA, whatever it is, whatever I needed, I've gone to him. And and ever since Jason Fisher came in and brought in his guys, you know, the garage just wasn't working out anymore. We needed somewhere bigger, and we started Michigan Top Team, and it started just a couple of years ago. And I mean, arguably number one Michigan and gym in Michigan right now. So.
Oh, very good. It's David over there making noises on the board.
He's playing Tetris.
Yeah. Exactly. It was a four blocker, just gone. I've seen that development, and, you know, you guys are on the right path with stuff. What can you say about Jack and Tan? Obviously, they're a little bit of a vocal group out there and stuff like that. How'd this rivalry between Jim start in your mind? And then we'll ask Connor how he thinks it started.
From what I heard from him is when Corey and I got into it about Corey going online talking about Darren and stuff, I took that personally. You know, Darren was just laughing about it. I took it personally just because how much he's done for me and how much he's been there for me and him being like an older brother to me. I took it personally, so I went on and said something to Corey and sparked an argument. This was, I don't know, maybe a year ago. you know, and to talk shit about Darren is just ignorant. Like, this is a guy that's staying in Michigan, can go anywhere in the world to train and be one of the best guys in the world, but he's staying in Michigan for a reason, you know, not just for his career, but he wants to build a team here, you know, that can represent Michigan, that can fight in the UFC, in Bellator, wherever we want, you know, and he's, a lot of guys came out of Michigan but left. Darren is still here, you know, and he's helping guys out constantly every day. He's not a selfish person, and for Corey to go on and just, you know, diss him like that just because they don't train with us, you know, that's their problem. We've opened the doors to them and to everybody numerous times, and, you know, they didn't accept the offer. So it is what it is. They're at, over there at Jack and Tan. Personally, I think they suck. So, you know, and
shots fired.
You know, if you want to look at fighters and what we've accomplished in the short period of time, coaches, you can compare. I mean, it is what it is. You know, everybody knows this. You know, they want to be hard-headed, and they want to talk about how good they are and stuff. I think they have some talented guys over there, a couple talented guys. I think they need maybe a better coaching staff. I haven't heard of any of their coaches, don't know any of their coaches, except for Corey and Connor, and you can't really teach yourself everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard Connor went out and trained somewhere else for this fight, which is good. That just gives me more confidence, you know, knowing that his team is not good enough for him to stick around with. So he spent the last 4 weeks somewhere else, wherever he, you know, went to train. You know, I'm still in Michigan, talk to you, I'm still in Michigan. I got more than enough guys and more than enough coaching staff to get me to this fight and through any fight. So
do you know if there's a running tally between the two gyms, like when you guys have fought each other, like who's won more?
I don't know. I know we had Floyd Jones' amateur be one of their guys. Mm-hmm. They don't really have that many guys. I can't.
Okay. I didn't know if there has been, like, quite a few times that the two gyms have gone head-to-head.
Off the top of my head, I want to say 1-0. That's the only fight that I could think of.
After Saturday, we'll 2-0?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
For sure.
Well, we're going to call up your opponent right now and get him on the line. We're going to talk to him for a little bit, and then we're going to let you guys, of course, verbally spar each other over the phones. And get ready for this. That's actually I'm very excited to be there Saturday for this fight.
You're not nervous or anything, are you? You got to talk to him on the phone.
No, okay. Hey, Connor, this is Brad. You're live on the undercard. We are joined by Connor Cuppy. How are you today, buddy?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. We have Mo, your opponent, on Saturday night in studio here. But we want to talk to you first a little bit and get your background on this fight, how this fight started happening in your eyes, and then we're going to talk about the event, and then we're going to let you talk to Mo for a little bit. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. So basically, from a distance, everybody knows about this fight, even if you're a casual Michigan MMA fan, because on all these boards, back and forth, there's been some you know, verbal sparring and stuff. How'd this fight come about? How were you approached about this fight? And why did you want to take this fight against Mo?
This fight has pretty much been in the making for some years now. We were actually amateurs around Michigan around the same time. You know, he didn't want to fight me for a while. He wanted me to come to 145. He claims that he wanted to fight me. You know, but all of his fights were at 55, so, you know, I was just thinking, let's fight at 55. We both fight there. And most of it all is, he would just always talk shit. You talk shit to my brother. You don't mess with my family. You mess with any of my teammates. Open your mouth. Talk shit. You know, he said he was going to slap my brother, actually. I'm one of the posts, one of Connor and Luke's posts. First, he refused to fight me at 55, so there's proof right there that he wouldn't fight me at 55. And then he stated that he was going to slap my brother when he saw him. And then the next time we saw him, we were at a show and inside the cage at WXC. And my brother shook his hand and held his hand and was like, I'm right here. You're going to slap me? And he didn't
Your
do
brother
shit,
ran out of that cage, you know? So quick. Don't sit there running your mouth about this. Your brother ran out of there so quick. Ooh. I remember I was still in there with my guy.
You were at loss of words, dude.
When your brother ran to the back of the locker room, I was still in the cage with my guy. After my guy just finished smashing your guy, by the way, just to remind you.
Yeah, smashing. That was your guy, too, right?
Yeah, that was our guy, Floyd Jones.
You trained him.
Yeah, no, Floyd Jones 100% MTT. He came to us, he was 0-2, he was on a 4-5
win streak. Your guy walked the first round, so smashing is, and that's not even the point. The point was,
he finished
it,
didn't he? That's all that matters. 1-0 is going to be 2-0 this weekend. Have fun with that.
No, you're going to get fucked up pretty bad, dude.
By what? You know it. By your badass boxing skills?
You see it coming.
What do you got? What do you got for me? Please tell me.
I got striking, grappling, wrestling. I have everything. What do you got?
I didn't even know what to work on this training camp. I don't even know what to work on this training camp because you suck so bad. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you got for me?
Yeah,
name one thing.
Wow, it's getting intense.
We like it. We like it. It's fight week. You can always tell.
He talks all this fake stuff, and he sits there, and I think he just, like, looks in the mirror and, like, practices the stuff at home, and it drives me nuts.
Well, okay, let's address, so he said that you normally fight at 155, but you wanted him to come down to 145. Is that not true?
No, that's not true. I never asked for a fight against him at 45. I know he can't make 45. I would have asked for that.
See, I'll post from last year.
I said come to 45. You can get you can get Mike Patinelli on here. Nobody's offered me that fight. I've never turned it down
against you. The words don't lie.
The words on here. What words?
The post is the post. You're like, oh, we come to 45, not 55.
I never said I'm bigger and better than you. Obviously, we're fine at 55 this weekend, stupid.
Now, because you finally got the courage after my last fight. You're like, oh, shit, it's possible. There is a way to beat him.
20 pounds lighter.
I could try to stall him out and stand over him with my kicks.
Manhandled.
Good luck.
By a guy 20 pounds less than you. I'm going to destroy you.
Now, I hate to interrupt this because I like that. That's why I got in the fight game. But, Connor, I asked Mo a question before you got on the air, and it's a serious question. Sometimes the bad blood's there so much that after a fight, it's just not going to be patched. I mean, win or lose, are you going to wish Mo well, or is this something that doesn't end on Saturday?
You know, I don't wish bad upon any fighter that gets in the cage. You know, I respect every single fighter that gets in there. And who knows how our relationship's going to be afterwards. I can't predict the future, you know. We have to see how the fight goes. There's no way to predict these things, you know. As of right now, we can't stand each other. You know, and that's all that matters. Oftentimes people fight, you know, and then they have more respect for each other afterwards. You know, that's possible that could happen. It could not happen. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Now, for the listeners that aren't familiar with your team, Jack and Tan, like, how did you and your brother come about, with Jack and Tan? And how long have you guys been working together with the current team you have?
It was probably the end of 2011. Our old team name was, like, Team Undisputed, and it was, like, just an original name, and there was like a couple other teams in Michigan with that same name. So then me, Corey, Anthony, and a couple other of the guys were just thinking of new team names, you know, and we wanted something that stood out, you know. So when people hear the name Jack and Tan, whether even if it's just reading a t-shirt out of state, like, they remember that name. So and it's outside the box, you know. So you hear Jack and Tan, you know it's us, and we're all jacked and tan and good looking white guys too, so it fits the character.
There you go. I think it's great marketing, actually, because like you said, you are going to remember it. It's one of those things that it's unique and everything like that. And I've always enjoyed you and your brother after, you know, your fight comments. You know, it seems like you guys were a little bit ahead of the curve, and now, like, Conor McGregor and all these other people, like, are just over the top even more than you and your brother were at some events where, like, you know, their stuff. But, I mean, how much of that is an act, or how much of that is, like, you like being that intense?
No, it's who we are. Even from, you can ask anybody around the sport karate circuit, even just around Michigan alone, we've always been that way. You know, sport karate, like, is the martial arts that we grew up in, and it was real intense, you know. Real intense, a lot, there was a lot of showboating, a lot of taunts, a lot of chanting, you know, so we started that just from our background growing up. So as a kid, it's what I grew up doing. It's what I love to do. And then once we came into the MMA world, in 2009, and we've been the same ever since. You know, we fought the best competition right away, and, you know, we back down from no one, say how we feel. So So we've always been this way. It's not an act at all. You know, so sometimes some of the, like, the online, like, I actually don't even like social media, you know, but as a fighter, I'm obligated to be on social media. You know, it does help market the fights, which makes me more money in the future, you know, gets me more well-known. So all that stuff does help, especially in this industry, but it's not an act at all.
Well, Connor, tell me something you can respect about Mo's game. I mean, there's got to be something that you respect as of him as a fighter. Is there a certain element that you at least go into this fight respecting?
He's a tough fighter. He trains with a lot of good professionals. You know, he has good coaches, so he's tough everywhere. You know, like, he's not as talented everywhere, but he's really tough. You know, he does have hard leg kicks. You know, he's let me know about those countless number of times. You know, I'm ready for him. You know, and then he's got a solid clinch game. He likes to grab people in the clinch, stall them out, you know, hit them with some knees. But more than anything, I would say, you know, he's just tough. He doesn't really have a background in any specific area. You know, he's trains good guys and he's tough.
I'm going to pose the same question to you, Mo. Talk a little bit about your opponent, Connor Cubby. What can you say good about him?
He's got to think about it.
Try to be polite. Try to be nice. He's good off his back. He's got decent jiu-jitsu. He transitions well. You know, he gets off his back very well and gets himself in better positions, you know, on the ground. So I respect that. He keeps his distance, uses his karate well, his kicks. So, you know, that's something to look out for, you know.
Now, and I know you guys wouldn't reveal it too much, but you guys are relatively healthy coming off these camps, right? Both of you guys are ready to go. No excuses?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right. And then, Connor, tell us a little bit. You went out state to train a little bit. Who are you training with, and what do you think it's going to bring to this fight?
I went to TriStar. I'm actually going to be linking up with them for, like, the rest of my career. I was training with Firas Sahabi every day. I got some good work in with George St. Pierre. Lots of other UFC fighters, black belts in jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai world champions. You know, I got work with some of the best guys in the world. And it didn't really, you know, you're always learning in this sport. You're always constantly learning as you're evolving. There's no stopping when it comes to the learning curve. But I had all my weapons already set to go. You know, I went there for just good bodies, sharpen up my skills, you know, and no better way to do it than to have some of the best coaches in the world assisting me.
Mo, there's a fifth element to fighters that we rarely don't see at a Michigan MMA level, in which it's controlling of emotions. I've seen it on a national level. You guys, clearly this has been heated for a year. How do you go into that fight controlling those emotions so it's just not pure rage in there? What tactics are you going to use mentally to prepare for it going into the next 4 days? That fifth element that it's rare to see, and it's great you guys have sold this fight as it is, but you got to mentally, you know, it is a fight.
Yeah, I'm usually pretty calm before a fight. I don't go in there hype. I'm not in the back listening to anything crazy. You know, I listen to a lot of slow jams, a lot of slow music, a lot of country. You know, I listen to stuff that I listen to every single day of my life. You know, stuff that calms me down. I'm just a calm person. I don't like to get overexcited for a lot of things. And I'm just gonna go in real calm, like I always do, smile on my face, and ready to fight. You know. At the end of the day, this is still a sport. You know, as much as you hate the guy, this is still a sport. We're doing this because he's got a ton of people coming. I got a ton of people coming. And like I said before, my fans come out because they love to see me get punched in the face, and they love to see me punch somebody in the face. So that's what they enjoy. So that's what I do for them.
That is why ladies go on dates with Jimmy, oddly enough.
just to keep it like that. Same question to you, Connor. I mean, a lot of emotions. You were talking a little bit earlier about how he, in your eyes, offended your brother. And how do you keep it in the fight game when you get in the cage and it just not be a pure emotion?
Well, I train for this every day. I treat it like just any other fight. You know, obviously it's a little bit bigger than the fights I had before. You know, even fights after this are going to be bigger than this one. So it's all the same to me. You know, my mentality is bulletproof. You know, I train every single night. You know, I don't just train my body; I train my mind, day in, day out. When I'm at home, when I'm out of the gym, every single night. So I'll be ready. I'll be relaxed, focused, and ready to kill.
Oh, very cool. I want to thank both you guys for coming in here and stuff. I'm going to let Connor, you talk to your opponent here really quick. What can he expect? I'll give you a moment here to kind of get in his face and over the radio here and tell him what you're going to do on Saturday, and then we'll let Mo do the same. Go ahead, Connor.
I can't get enough of talking to Mo. Four more days, less than yesterday. Mo, the storm's coming. There's no way to stop it. Standing up ground, just remember, I'll be a step ahead of you anywhere this fight goes. I'm always a step ahead. I know all your movements. I know all your moves. You don't have any clue what I have to offer, striking or on the ground. I know moves that you don't even know. And my striking, there's no video footage that shows my actual striking. So you're in for a real surprise. I can't wait to see your face.
Wow.
And Mo?
Just make sure when you see me in person you don't stutter like you did right now. Talk to me like a real man. First of all, you have no idea what's coming to you Saturday. This is the best training camp. I make no excuses for any fight, win or lose, ever. You know, you can never pull up an excuse that I made for any of my fights. Saturday night, I'm going to come out to fight, and keep your hands up. That's all I got to tell you.
Well, keep my hands down. You won't hit me.
Wow.
Keep them down. Make it even easier.
Well, thank you so much, Connor, for joining me.
I'm excited.
I'm excited for the fight. I really am. This is the fight I want to see Saturday night. I want to thank you, Connor, for coming in, and Mo for being in the studio, too. You know, one request, keep it classy during the weigh-ins, man. Don't push there. You know, we want to see it on Saturday night. And I know Mo and I know Connor, you guys are going to try to make the weigh-ins as the face-off as polite as possible. Just save it one more day. You guys can do it. You know, or they can separate you. It'll be
The look on Mo's face right now, I don't know if that's possible. Yeah.
But best of luck to you, Connor. Best of luck to you, Mo. And we'll see you guys on Saturday for post-interviews, all right?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Connor Cuppy. We were joined by Mo Elshatri in studios. Mo, I know you got more interviews to hit and stuff. We're going to grab a quick picture with you as we go on a music break. And for people that were looking for something to do Saturday night, this fight alone is the reason to go.
Absolutely.
Mo, do you still got tickets available or no?
I still have a few, not much.
How can someone contact you if they want to get tickets to you?
Get a hold of me on Facebook. It's Mo Shatri, M-O-E, last name S-H-A-T-R-I. Twitter and Instagram, it's Elshatri, ALSHATRIMMA.com.
Yeah, and what price ranges do you have? Because that's the next question I'm going to get emailed.
All I have is a couple of the 50 left, so I think maybe like 3 or 4.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And if you don't buy them for 50 now from Mo, Jimmy will be selling them for 75 out the door. So you can
get them from Mo.
Get them from Mo for $50. Right. Exactly. Yep. We're going to go to our second to last music break here. We're going to grab a picture with Mo, and we will be back on the undercard.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming. And is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome to The Undercard. Yeah, Marv's got to turn it off. We're
really,
live.
That 3 minutes went really fast.
Day after Labor Day, episode 155. Yeah, I wanted to talk just some general subjects, especially because Marv, with his comedic background and stuff like this. Big news is happening in the late-night world. Stephen Colbert is taking over the Late Late Show, or The Late Show. And back when I grew up, that late-night shows was where it was at. It was Jimmy Carson when he couldn't make it, Joan Rivers.
Or Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson. Man, I am bad today, dude. I am totally...
Jimmy.
Terrible.
I never saw Jimmy Carson.
Yeah, well, Jimmy Carson, he was a taxi driver out in Madison, Wisconsin.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Johnny Carson.
Right.
It was basically, when we were growing up, it was Johnny Carson and David Letterman.
Yeah. Right. And then I remember Joan Rivers co-hosting when Johnny couldn't do it. And I remember Jay Leno doing it. Mm-hmm. Jay Leno getting the job.
Yep.
And those people.
And then it sucked ever since.
Well, those people were just bigger than life. I think you're thinking the Chevy Chase show. That did suck.
No,
I mean, when he
Jay Leno was terrible.
Just terrible.
Okay.
Jay Leno was terrible, but Jimmy Fallon is knocking it out of the park.
He is.
He's doing a great job. I'm so happy he got that show.
He has brought the Tonight Show. He has brought it back to what it was like when Carson was on.
I say
hosting.
It's even better.
Well, that's what I was.
Yeah. You can't beat Carson.
Absolutely can. I'm sorry. There's nostalgia, absolutely. But I used to watch it when it was Carson. Yeah. I enjoy Jimmy Fallon's show better than I enjoy Carson's show.
Because we're at a different age, though. I mean, when I was watching Johnny Carson, I was a kid.
Well, and I was going to say, and also it was towards the end of his tenure.
Still better.
I don't know. I think if you look at early Carson and then you look at Fallon, they're pretty much equal.
Nah.
How about this, though? How many writers did Johnny Carson probably have compared to how many writers Jimmy Fallon has and how many ideas he had? Maybe the talent was still more on Johnny Carson's side because you probably only had maybe one or two writers.
No, absolutely
no,
not.
God,
we had
no.
more than that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that yeah, like yeah. especially – yeah, those shows have always had tons and tons of writers.
I just picture Jimmy Fallon, and he's very talented, and everything he does is successful. I can't imagine how many floors of the Rockefeller Plaza
It's especially – it's even more so now, but even when Carson was doing the show, like the writers weren't all there. Like a lot of the comedians I met when I was doing stand-up, one in particular, Chili Chalice, like he wrote for The Tonight Show for like 35 years. But he was never actually in New York. Like he would just – he would fax stuff or call it in or send it in. But like – so there are writers – they have a network of writers out everywhere who are sending jokes in and sending bits in and sending things in that then the staff writers then read through and
say we like
up
this, we like that, we're going to keep this, modify that.
And nowadays that goes on even more because I can just email it or text it or whatever.
I don't think anyone thought Jimmy Fallon would be as successful as he is. I mean, I don't care what you say. You could say he was going to be successful and take it over and do well.
I didn't think
But no one would think he would knock it out.
I honestly was not a fan of Jimmy Fallon before he started doing the show. I didn't think he was funny.
Okay.
See, I did, though. I mean, I was very excited for him to take over.
He had a couple of good characters on SNL, but like overall, I didn't find him funny. But he has proved me wrong. He is doing a great job.
But now we come.
And he almost lost a finger. I mean, that's.
Oh my
I know.
Gosh, yeah.
But now Stephen Colbert.
Yep.
For all purposes, is a character, and.
He's not going to be doing that character on this show. He's not.
And how successful is he going to be?
He has said that.
Yeah, he said. He said it's going to be. There was a quote that just came out, where he said, that the new Late Show will be a hybrid of. What was best about the Tonight or the Late Show and what we learned from the Colbert Report.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Stephen Colbert still kind of being.
There still will be lots of political humor.
Yes. Oh, there'll absolutely. Be a lot of political humor.
His first guest is Jeb Bush.
Right.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of political humor still. Yeah. But there will also be. I think he's not going to be the Stephen Colbert character.
No.
That we saw in the Colbert Report, but I think it'll be more of like what you saw him like in whenever he did anything live. It's more him than the character.
Yeah, he'll still have the sarcasm and, you know,
the dry wit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But he's not going to be that Colbert.
Right. But I think everybody knows him as that Colbert. And so I just wonder how successful he will be.
Mm.
And if this is going to be a failed science experiment or it's going to work.
I think if he starts off doing it like the Colbert Report so that people are getting or that were familiar with the Colbert Report tune in, they're like, oh, this is something I'm familiar with. I like this. And then he slowly shifts out of that into something else. As long as he does it gradually, I think people are
going to
follow.
I'm not even sure he needs to do that. I think he's going to fill the hole that Jon Stewart leaving The Daily Show is leaving. Because they have this new guy they're bringing
Trevor,
in. I don't know much about this guy. I've watched some of his stand up. I don't think he's funny. Maybe he'll Jimmy Fallon me and he'll be great. But Colbert he has that audience established already. I really do think that this is going to at least somewhat fill that hole. I think he's going to keep a political edge to it. I mean, like I said, his first guest is Jeb Bush. And did you hear the stuff going on there where like so Jeb Bush, he's going to be one of the, he's going to be the first guest, and then what Jeb Bush did a contest where like if you went to his website and donated at least $3, they entered your name into a contest, and he would give you tickets to come see him on The Late Show with Colbert. But he didn't clear that with the Colbert people. He just did it. And so Colbert like came on and was like – so then Colbert then launched like a counter contest for people to set – it's not really a contest. Basically, he's like you send him questions like – not offensive, like not dirty questions, right. But you send Colbert questions that he will ask Jeb Bush, and he's like questions. For instance, like, does it bother you that you didn't get permission from the Colbert people before? So it'll be interesting to see this first interview. But yeah, Colbert was kind of ticked that he, you know, kind of used the show as a reward for donating to it. Because I think we can safely assume Colbert not really a supporter of Jeb Bush.
Really? I would have never guessed that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that.
But I would never guessed that.
It kind of sucks because we grew up and you had to have the total package of The Late Show. But what happens is now people watch the clip, the funny clip, whether it's David Duchovny sitting on the couch and interacting with Jimmy Fallon, or did somebody see the game show Jimmy Fallon played with JT, or did you see History of Rap?
Yeah.
And you see that little part, but you don't watch the whole show anymore, the complete package from interview to band and such. But there was an art form to it. There was an art form to late night, and it's same with Saturday Night Live. When we grew up, we had to suffer through the 5 skits that didn't work to get to the 3 that knocked it out of the park that night.
But now it's exactly the opposite.
That's the world we're living in, though. I mean, and
it's a horrible world.
We're a part of it, dude. We're a podcast. We are part of it.
And I like hope you're listening to all the podcasts.
Right,
is what
exactly.
I'm saying.
Well, but I mean, but that's where we're going. That's what people want. I mean,
it's everything is in small bites. You don't want to have to sit through something you don't want.
Well, yeah, because people are watching it on their phone.
Right. And you want to be able to see only things that you want to be able to see. And the entertainment industry has basically catered to that. There's a formula, sitcom formula. Marv can back me up on this. There's a sitcom formula that also kind of translates a little bit into movies. So in sitcom formula, you have little tiny episodes between the commercials. So there's in any kind of writing, you have a beginning, a middle, and an end. You have the rise, you have the climax, and you have the resolution. And in each little segment
Jimmy
of
Jimmy has
sitcom,
the climax, then the resolution.
Yeah.
The rise doesn't happen.
There's no rise. There's the no rise lasts it's like just a second and a half. Then there's the climax and then crying.
But
usually Jimmy.
You know that doesn't – you know that's never happened before. What, the 5 seconds of sex or the 30 minutes of crying?
Yeah,
both.
Yeah.
No, but what they do is so there's an overall arc to it, but then each little segment between the commercials have the over, you know, the beginning, the middle, and the end between each commercial, because if they don't do it that way, people lose interest and they turn the channel.
Sure.
They need to see a little tiny episode within the larger episode that's only a half an hour long, because our attention spans are so short that if we don't see that, we lose interest.
But I would argue that that is changing, because I can watch things on demand. And you have shows like House of Cards,
right? Well, and
they're doing these longer arcs,
right?
And longer, because I can, if I want to take a leak, or I can just stop.
You can pause it, right?
So
that's what is different, and that's Marv's exactly right. But with the advent of Netflix and streaming services, especially doing all the original DVR and the original content. Our attention spans are starting to change back again, where we can sit for longer periods of time watching something because we know we can pause it. Mm-hmm. But that's just it. We have control over our entertainment.
Yeah, binge watching, that's the epitome of like a longer attention span, right? Like I just watched Californication. The whole series. It's a fantastic show.
I watched it
in like a week.
Hank Moody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't have Showtime, so I could. But like you talk about binge watching.
Yeah.
Like I binge watched that. Like I watched 2 seasons like in a day and a half. I would barely like leave to pee.
Best line in the whole series though was, "What are you doing here in the fridge when Rick Springfield's out there trying to get your girl? Not Jesse's girl, Runkle's girl."
Yeah.
fucking awesome. And Rick Springfield plays like an exaggerated feature of himself. Yeah. You know, he'll only fuck with his music playing in the back.
Yep. That whole show was great. There was a ton of great lines in that.
Oh, it was really written well. And David Duchovny, unfortunately, is going to be at a Comic-Con. I've been waiting for him to hit a Comic-Con. I am obsessed with David Duchovny. He's going to be at Pittsburgh's Comic-Con this weekend. Mm. And there's no way I can get to it. Obviously, we have commitments.
I guess I know where I'm going.
But his background in literature, his background is master's degree. He has more education than most people. And the writing, even though he wasn't all a part of it, is so brilliant in Californication. And he's a hero you want to root for, but he just keeps effing up.
Now, see, to me, my favorite line was, of course, I'm a big X-Files fan, was when he's getting ready to go to court in like the third season or whatever. And it's sort of a throwaway little like nod to it. He's got his suit on and everything. He's got his hair like all parted on the side and everything. And he's looking in the mirror and like Karen comes in and like says something about looking nice. And he goes, really? I look like an FBI agent. And he totally looks like Mulder. He's got the hair combed the same way. He's got the skinny tie. He's got the black suit. I was like,
But great series, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I try to get Rochelle to watch it, and somewhere around episode 4 or 5, you know, there's a lot of sex in it.
There's a lot of sex, and it's not very kind to the ladies.
No.
Most of the women in that show are
objectified.
Well, they're whores. I can guarantee you, if Hank Moody is in a room alone with a woman,
she is
going to proposition him.
He's
going to
get
no
some.
Matter what her age.
Right. I can't really think of a time that he actually like initiated it. Like with a strange woman. It was always them.
Oh, it is always the women.
It's always the women like initiating with him. He initiated it with Karen. Or like if he was like with the girls, but like if it was a strange woman, they always initiated it with him.
They end up in a room somehow.
Yep.
In random people's homes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But
or in an office.
The biggest biggest compliment I can give to the writing of Californication is that and I'm not gonna name the price because I guess it went down when I checked today, but it would be tough for me to decide for an outrageous amount whether I'd want him to sign a Hank Moody or a David Duchovny. That's how well Californication was done.
Wait, what are you talking about?
You get one item because it's very expensive to get his autograph. David Duchovny.
With this comic book.
God, as much as I love Agent Mulder, Hank Moody was such a great character.
So you're saying would you don't know if you would have him sign
it'd be a
Hank
coin
Moody
toss.
Or a Mulder?
Yeah,
it'd be a coin toss. You said a Hank Moody or a David Duchovny. I'm confused. Well, okay.
Signing David Duchovny.
You know what? That's actually not a Mulder. It would be a Mulder.
Because that's how you first fell in love with him.
It's how I first fell in love with him. And that show, I think he's more well known for that show.
Well, yeah, he is. But every time we would watch it, he would make the comment, this is one of the best characters ever written.
I think so.
Oh, absolutely.
So
I completely agree with that.
God bless him.
If you ever want to start watching Californication,
seriously, you have to watch it. There is a ton of sex in it, though, and freaky sex.
Yes. Punching and screaming.
I'm just letting you know. I'm just letting you know. And you'll know the scene when you get there. There's a scene when the girls walk in on Hank and Runkel.
Oh. In the candle?
And Hank is like, oh, I just remembered why I didn't call her back. you'll know, Jimmy. Okay. You'll know.
All right. I'll put it on my cue.
But his friend relationship with Marcy and Runkel is hilarious because
they're hilarious.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah. And who's the old actor that Marcy starts marrying? The Hollywood exec who's been in a million.
I can't think of his name, but he's you know who he is. He was
nerd from Sneakers.
Well, he was the guy in Groundhog Day, the one that. That he kept running into Ned Ryerson.
Ned Ryerson.
So that guy like is in this show too, and his character is like he's a Hollywood producer like with a legendarily giant member.
Okay, all right.
But I mean, and he plays like that character though. Like he plays the character he usually plays.
But this
spends a lot of time in a Speedo.
Okay.
This would be my argument to the Hank Moody, though, maybe getting the signed document, okay? Or signed picture. There was times during an X-Files season, and the first time I watched it was watching it every week. So, like, I'm not talking binge walking, right? it would get to a point where X-Files, where you'd be so excited. The smoking man, something revealed. Then the next day they're chasing like something not related in Iowa, and then kind of like Jimmy, it goes soft quick. And you're like, it was one of those things where Californication straight across. California.
No. Look at the pedestals that these two are on today.
Californication straight across.
My gosh.
Californication straight across is a good, like, was written.
Yeah, rarely,
like the arc is
rarely
good.
Ever go soft.
Oh, my.
Hank Moody was never soft.
No.
So, you know, I think the writing in the overall series, as much as I love X-Files, Jimmy, I'm just joking. I love you. I love you.
The thing is, like, that one almost went past me, too. He was like, you know, like Jimmy, it goes soft. And I was like,
And then it wouldn't pick up for like an episode or two where like, okay, now you're back with the you know,
they
the
had a lot of storylines to follow though. And X-Files, like there was like,
I love X-Files.
You had them all weaving. I mean, yeah, but you're right. Every now and then, like there was just like the freak show episode.
Right. It, which you didn't
well,
go with it.
Anybody here watch Doctor Who?
No.
No, we got to start it.
Okay. It's the same
like
kind
girls.
Of thing.
I like to touch boobies.
Actually,
so
if you watch Doctor Who, you will get a lot of girls cuz that's all they want to talk about.
Not the kind of girls that I want to.
Do you know who Doctor Who is, Liz?
Okay.
She's shaking her head no, of
you're
course.
Not a of
course.
You're not a Whovian.
It's fine. But no, it's the same thing where they have, you know, multiple episodes that are following a story arc and then they reveal something. Because each season has an overall story arc, but then they would have those weird episodes that have absolutely nothing to do.
Well, you have to do those.
But
though.
I found out what it was they had one main writer, Stephen Moffat, who wrote all the overall line or things, and then they would have guest writers come in, and those guest writers had no idea what Moffat was doing, so they would just submit different stories and then they would pick and choose, okay, well, we're going to put this one, episode 5, episode 9, whatever, and that's why it never made any sense.
Well, but you have to spread them out like that, otherwise, like, you're through your overall arc, like,
right.
No time.
Well, and that's why they did it. It's, you know, a little break and a little break.
And you're
going to
come
so
back and
so
watch.
Forth.
You're still going to come back
and that's why they would do it, too, is
absolutely.
They know that, you know, in two episodes when they come back to the normal storyline, everybody's going to be watching it again.
So I guess to make the point, to impress friends, it would be Agent Mulder on the wall. But when I'm alone in the house, you know, drinking an old-style beer, it would definitely the Hank Moody autograph
actually,
would be better.
Well, the answer to your problem is you send Rochelle with one of the other pictures.
No, he's charging.
Afford it.
No, David Duchovny has realized he's not hit a Comic-Con yet. And so, like, when he's coming to this Comic-Con, he's like...
How much is it to get
No,
a
I can't say.
Can I take a guess?
Why?
Because it went down a little bit, so I want to be accurate on it.
Can I take
Nobody's listening to this. It's fine.
No. I want to be accurate on it because it lives forever.
Can I take a guess,
forever.
Though?
Guess.
My guess is 200. Mm-mm. Okay. All right.
So, but we ain't gonna say. But
no.
I just multiply it by a few times.
You don't understand how bad I want to go to Pittsburgh though, just to get David Duchovny's autograph. He's only there on Saturday, and then his band's playing Saturday night, which I don't even like his music, but it's David Duchovny, so I'm there. And
do you think he'd do a cover of his own, that one song?
Oh, the David Duchovny song by Bree Sharp. That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
That would be kind of amazing.
That would
I think
like,
that would break the internet.
David Duchovny, Why Don't You Love Me? But so, like I said, David Duchovny go in there. Californication, I'm glad you watched that, Marv. Now we got stuff to talk about forever because I love that show. Mm-hmm. And Runkle and everything like that. And you should know who Doctor Who is. We were with a very comic crowd last night and somebody said she looks like... Pull her up really quick. Jenna Coleman from Doctor Who.
Yeah, she looks like Claire from Doctor Who.
Pull her up. Somebody said you are an exact replica of
you
a girl.
Actually.
Yep.
And I've never seen the show, so I'm like...
I want to see what she looks like.
She looks like the doctor?
No. Jenna Coleman is
the
companion,
So let's see it. There's so many companion. There's so many different doctors. I can't keep up.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out which year to start with, and we're thinking
1976.
Nope, start with season nine with Eccles.
Chris, 2010.
Yep, 2010, and then you could skip. For me, you could skip the Matt Smith. Get through the one season with Eccles. David Tennant is a brilliant actor. So watch him, and then you could probably skip Matt Smith because I thought he was a terrible, terrible actor.
David, you a Doctor Who guy?
Here.
No.
That's Jenna Coleman.
Holy cow, yeah.
Yeah.
Turn it around.
Let me see.
No, you got to come around here.
You got to turn it for me, though. I can't get away from it. Oh, wow. I do see it now. Her eyes are bigger than your eyes, but
do I see cosplay in the making?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because a lot of the shows on this network, and that's who they said, hey, Jenna Coleman.
You know what? Honestly, PenguinCon.
Pull up one more picture.
Yeah,
that one's close. I want to see like another picture.
Okay.
To give it the yay or nay.
Yeah, but yeah, if we ever, when we do stuff with like PenguinCon or whatever,
how would they know that that's what she's supposed to be unless she's walking around with a blue phone booth though?
No.
She has like outfits.
She has a signature outfit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know that.
And then she could also have a little thing that says, my name is Jenna. Or not Jenna, I'm sorry, Clara.
Well, yep. The fun thing we're going to do over the next few weeks.
That's another one.
Let's see. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? If you dressed her up in... she would have... The best way to do would be dress her in kind of like a English schoolmarm. Because that's what she is. She's a school teacher.
Okay.
But like in like now, not like period, but like nowadays. But
I just don't think I have enough days in my life left to get through a Doctor Who couple seasons or something like that. There's a lot of stuff.
There is a lot of stuff. Like I said, I would skip. I would do Eccles. I would do Tennant. Skip Matt Smith and go right into Capodaglia, who's the new one. I like him. He's good.
Is that the old guy?
Yeah. Well, and I really like him because...
That's the one episode I have seen was one of his seasons.
Yeah. I really like him. I think he brings a gravity to the character. And I think he does a much better job as the character of the Doctor than Matt Smith did. David Tennant, by far... I mean, I've seen some of the older ones, the 70s and the 80s, and they were okay. But David Tennant, by far, is my favorite Doctor. I think I'm also kind of partial because I love David Tennant as an actor. I've seen him do Hamlet with Patrick Stewart, and it was phenomenal. Best Hamlet I've ever seen, hands down.
So last night, though, it was apparent to me and Rochelle as we were in Black Fin celebrating with IT and the D. You got to meet Jay from Get Your Geek On.
Yes.
And the one thing that...
Are you going to trade me?
No. They were like, you got a good thing with Jimmy. I reconsidered. I was like, yes, we do got a good thing with Jimmy. We're going to keep him here. But the one thing I do love about Liz is that she's so honest. Like, since we've known her, she's really honest. She started off, like, ripping on, Marv right away, so we knew she was a good fit. But the other thing is Jay basically told her, he's like, well, what do you know about comics? And, like, most people will fake it there. They'll be like, oh, I'm talking to a comic guy. I'll be like, I know some stuff. No, she's like, I know nothing.
I know.
Right.
So we realized that we had to have, like, a crash course with her over the next few weeks of where we teach her a little bit of geek culture.
Okay.
Because when we're coming here, I was just like, well, how bad is it, right? And so Rochelle decides to ask, name a character from Star Wars.
Okay.
And she got one.
Okay.
Which is?
Chewbacca.
Okay. Chewbacca.
But then we asked her who the little green guy is with the ears.
And she said?
I have no idea.
I don't know who that is.
Then we asked her who the robot's names were.
No, first off, she goes, are you sure he's green?
Okay.
Isn't he like, hold on. White?
Even if she doesn't get his name right, the ultimate question is, did Han shoot first?
She doesn't even know who Han Solo
is. I know.
We've realized this.
No, I'm saying, but like, even if she never knows his name, as long as she knows the right answer to that question, she will be fine in geek culture.
I'm going to let you know the correct answer to that question is yes, he did.
Han shot first.
So I asked her. I was like, well, what do you know about
right.
it? And then she said, well, they run around and they have those glow sticks, and she called them glow sticks.
Oh my god!
Which then got me thinking.
Are they lasers?
Yeah. Then she changed it to lasers. She's like, no, I know what it is. It's lasers.
But then lasers.
In my head,
myself at the end.
But guys. in my head, I'm thinking in a galaxy, in a rave, very far, far away, with the glow sticks, boom, 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 boom. But she did get it right. Lightsabers.
Yeah. The Force is just what happens when you drop some E. And
the Millennium Falcon is a tire shop on 8 Mile.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever? Oh,
well,
I'm
no,
sorry.
Actually, this well, hold on. We talked. Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit before the show, and how it came up, I don't know. But my favorite was that she thought the main villain's name was Dark Vader,
and there was a white Vader,
and she wanted to know who the white one was.
Because I asked her, I go, well, what are the white guys that are like in the armor? Do you know what that's
she was
called?
Like? Honkies.
She goes, you mean like same she goes thing, like Dark white. Vader.
And Dark
like,
Vader, yes.
They're just like him, but nice.
Because they don't shoot anybody.
Well, they shoot at people. Oh. They just never
they
hit anybody.
They're purposely missing.
Yeah, the only thing they hit is their head on the thing.
By the way, that was it Dodge that made the Stormtrooper cars? But what's great about it is you could drive it any way you wanted. You never hit anything.
Yeah,
you
know? Dave apparently had the jump before me, and then I had a subversion. But yeah, that's the funny thing is Dave said your insurance rates will be super low.
Yeah, because you can't hit anything.
And I think it would be great. You know, you could sit in an intersection and be
That's
fine.
Probably what the horn sounds like. Pew, 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 pew,
pew. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Oh,
but
so anyways,
she's behind.
Yeah, she is behind.
So
she's, well,
we
but you know what?
Her.
Here's the thing: it's not her fault. It's her generation because they didn't grow up. And actually, I don't blame her. I blame her parents.
Yeah. No,
because
worst
they did not teach her properly.
Period. Ever.
Ever.
Period.
Yeah.
Ever.
Because they did not teach her the ways of
the force,
geek culture as they were getting older. Because I know a lot of people that are around her age the exact same way. Because their parents never taught them, you know, didn't say, hey, sit down, watch this movie.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure that they watched it. I know my sister
But they didn't
has,
make
but...
you watch it. So I'm saying.
No, they're not going to, no.
Because your parents weren't, your parents weren't geeks, so they were embarrassed of liking Star Wars. See, we weren't embarrassed
of it. No, I mean, I'm pretty sure if someone asked my mom or dad a question, like, they would know.
They would know who the good Dark Vader was.
But how old are? I just out of curiosity. How old are your parents?
I'm afraid of this answer.
My mom is 49, and my dad is 53.
Okay, so yeah, they would know. I mean, they grew up with this culture.
I was totally afraid she was going to give a year
like
around when like around my age.
They saw the lines around the theaters. They know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
She's just not that much into it, which is fine, but I just think we should teach it.
See, I kind of, hung out with my sister when I was little, and, I mean, she was kind of like my mom, so, like, whatever she did, like, I kind of, like, followed along.
And how old is your sister?
34.
Okay, so she is
so
older.
So you have a sister.
That is from Star Wars. That is from Star Wars.
So she would know about it.
Actually, it's from Return of the Jedi.
Well, Star Wars, the overall king.
Get me killed, you should not.
Do you ever watch, just out of curiosity, do you ever watch any of the internet superpower beatdowns by Screw Attack? They take like two characters from geek culture
I touch boobies.
Smash them. I'm asking Dave. Smash them together. So,
no.
Okay, they did, it was Darth Vader versus Doctor Doom. And they basically list all their abilities and their characteristics, and they do like an animation thing at the end on who would win. But that was kind of like their whole thing with Vader. Darth Vader, yes.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna go to our last music break, but I think on the way back, what we'll do is a round table because we're gonna assess it like a doctor does when someone's wheeled into the emergency room. We don't know how bad this is.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna go around.
We have to triage this.
Keep in
mind, there is a deadline. There is a ticking clock.
There is.
Come the first weekend of November, we're kind of sponsoring and got a couple tables at Fantastica.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's a boot camp. Yeah.
And that's the thing is we will assess. We'll do this like a medical treatment. We will triage first, see how bad the disease is. Then we will create a plan for treatment. And that plan for treatment will consist of watch this, read this, do whatever.
So we're going to
be very bad.
So we're going to go around all the way to Rochelle. We'll start over here, and I will name a show or name something in sci-fi or pop culture. And you just say yes or no.
Yep.
And then we'll go around, and we'll realize if you're bleeding to death on us.
And we'll just keep on going.
Hold on. Are we named? So wait. So it's anything like so? It can be a show. It can be a character.
Example: Star Trek. Are you familiar with Star Trek?
Not the new movies.
But I've heard of it.
Okay, so that's the example of how we're going to go.
But I mean, like, how deep can we get? Like, can I name?
You can do a follow up.
Can I name
characters? Probably.
Well, but okay. I want to know how far are we going to triage?
It's going
to
go very far because I know.
Well, I mean,
well, no, this is what we do. We start at the skin. So Star Wars, we'll Star Trek, and then we can go deeper and deeper and deeper.
All right, guys. All right. Let's do our music and I got to pee. So
all right, we'll talk to everyone soon.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to The Undercard. It is
This is getting serious in here.
It's just a pretty slow night here at the Activate General Hospital. She's not much is going on until we have a patient now.
Yeah.
The Activate General Hospital has a patient here who's in critical condition.
Yep.
Bleeding out as we speak.
Yikes.
Yep.
We have to assess the situation and see how much she's familiar with science fiction. Not even science fiction. It's a little bit of pop culture she's lacking.
Yeah. Science fiction, fantasy, pop culture.
Right. Yeah. So I was just going to start off, you know, I know where they're going to go, but I'm going to start off with, if I was to say to you, do you know what cosplay is? What is cosplay?
I don't know.
Okay.
Isn't that the guy that was just roofing girls and
no, that was
now
PewDiePie.
He's all in trouble and
no, that was the guy that put pop in the pudding and get the pudding pop down.
And Cosby,
yeah, Cosby.
So you do not know what cosplay is? Okay,
okay.
Would you ever do it?
She doesn't know what it is, so how could she do it?
I just wanted to see where she would go with it. I thought maybe she would, like, yeah, I'll try it.
I will school you on this.
Yeah, so it's who's keeping track of where we're at, too, on it? So, like, cosplay, no.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Star Trek? Not the new movies.
I've heard about it, but no.
Okay.
All right, how about the show Firefly?
There's no way.
No.
Okay. Wait, have you ever seen a movie called Serenity?
No.
Okay.
Do you know who Joss Whedon is?
No.
Okay. Well, Dave, she does. She doesn't realize she knows who he is.
I'm going to ask Dr. David Phillips' opinion here.
So we're sticking with just sci-fi?
No.
Well, no, it can be pop culture. It can be
pop culture, sci-fi, fantasy.
You could ask her about Windows 95. That would fall
under
whatever geek
culture. Do you
culture.
Know who John Hughes is or any of his movies?
I've heard about him, but no. I don't know. Like, I don't.
I think
know.
She has seen some of his movies, though, because we've discussed that before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if maybe
like Weird Science, Better Off Dead, Breakfast Club,
16 Candles.
You've seen it.
That
you
rings
saw what?
A bell, so
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club.
So. 16 Candles.
It rings a bell.
Pretty in Pink.
Yeah. It does ring a bell.
St. Elmo's Fire.
Sherman, Illinois.
That wasn't Hughes, though, was it? Oh, it was? Okay.
St. Elmo's Fire? Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yes.
Yeah. Dr. Rochelle, assess the patient here.
She's kind of flatlining at the
moment. Well, no.
If there's anybody you wanted to play doctor with.
Yeah.
Well, no. We're skin deep now. We're going to have to go a little bit deeper here.
Skin deep was
so Rochelle, are you going to throw one out?
Speaking of skin deep, you know who John Ritter is?
Yeah, that's
no. Oh, ooh,
that is a great scene. It though with the glowing condom plate.
Okay, so I asked her off air if she knows what a hobbit is.
It's from Lord of the Rings.
She knows that.
Okay.
What are they? Do you know like their characteristics? Just anything about a
just
hobbit
name something.
In general?
Wasn't it that the weird looking thing that
maybe a little more specific?
Hold on,
he was like not an alien, but like a
okay. Wait, all right, let's back it up. Let's back it up. Are they known for being tall or short?
Short.
Okay.
Are they known for wearing shoes?
What kind of shoes do they wear, if any?
What?
I don't remember them wearing.
She's
thinking of Gollum.
Okay.
Oh, well,
technically,
I mean,
which brings us to the precious.
Yeah, that's the one. That's,
no,
yeah,
okay,
that's what I'm Gollum. Talking about.
Gollum was.
Ah! No.
Okay, never mind. Sorry. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay, so now we got to go.
Have you seen any of them?
Any of the Lord of the Rings or Hobbit movies?
Yeah, Lord of the Rings.
Which one?
There's three. All of them.
I don't think
I've seen the last one, but I have seen the first two.
Okay.
Okay.
What?
High five.
Fellowship of the Ring and Two Towers.
Wait, are you also putting the Hobbit movies in there?
She said she hasn't seen any of the Hobbit movies.
Okay,
she's
but
seen,
you saw.
I don't
Lord
remember
the
seeing
two,
the Hobbit movies, but I know
so you saw
was
Fellowship
the Hobbit and, that just came out not too long ago. Yes.
There were three movies of the Hobbit.
And three movies of Lord of the Rings.
Right. So there's six movies all together.
Would have been the one with Gollum, at least the one that had that focused on him.
Well,
that was Two Towers.
Well, no, Gollum, Two Towers, and Return of the King were, but Gollum was.
I like to call it Ring of
the
King.
In the first Hobbit movie, as well, he was in the cave then.
I don't think I have seen any of the Hobbit movies.
Sorry. So let's go a little more general.
Okay. So
Harry Potter.
Yeah, that was my next one.
Okay, do you know Harry Potter?
I haven't seen the last one, but yes, I have seen
Okay, have you read any of the books?
No.
Okay, but you've seen the movies.
Yes.
Okay.
I know who Ron Weasley is. Yes.
Name me some other character from Harry Potter.
And not Harry Potter.
Who is the main bad guy?
No, I want her to just pick a character.
Oh, hold on, I'm trying to think of that one that, like, has the long hair.
that narrows it down.
Gilderoy Lockhart?
It was that guy that, like, lived...
Hold on, doctors. I think we're losing the patient.
Marvin.
I'm going to assess it right now really quickly with
Hermione.
One simple question.
Hermione, there you
right,
go. She even
go.
Said
okay.
the name right.
I'm going to assess it really quickly with one simple question.
I was trying to think of one that's not the main character because there's like three, but I wasn't trying to like
all right.
say.
Do you believe Marty McFly believes in time travel?
Sure.
Are you saying that because you know without
a
doubt?
Are you referring to a movie?
Marty McFly.
Three movies, actually.
Okay, I'm just going to say yes because I've seen... I don't know what movie you're talking about.
So Marty McFly doesn't ring any bell. How about a DeLorean? Has it been in a movie ever? The car.
I've been in
what
a
about
couple.
Ectoplasm?
Ectoplasm, that's
ooh,
a
that's
good
a good
question.
One.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, I don't
Who are you going to call? If I said that, what would you say?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah! All right, we got a blip. We have a pulse.
Nice.
All right.
I'm not dead yet.
Beep.
Yep.
I'm not dead yet. Yeah. Oh,
I was going to call it with Marty McFly. I was going to call it.
Yeah.
Gonna,
all right. Have you ever seen any Monty Python movie?
I don't think so.
Crap. Okay.
That's right. A hellacious stretch.
Yeah. I'm just, because you never know. Yeah. You never know, you know?
She's way too young for that.
All right, let's
not necessarily.
Right.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, oh yeah, she would be, yeah.
Dr. Phillips, another question for the patient.
Okay, so we're thinking Comic-Con, just getting to the guys that we had on the show last night. What's anime?
Ooh.
Fake. Like, it's like characters you make on the computer, I guess. Like, I don't know how I'd put it.
Starting to flatline.
Like, all Disney movies are anime movies. Well, not most. I don't know how to word it. It's animated.
Right. But so, anime. So all blueberries are blueberries, but not all blueberries are blueberries. So
Buffalo.
Technically, she is correct. However,
all anime are animated.
Right.
But
correct.
Not all animated movies are anime.
Anime, correct.
What is the answer to the meaning of life?
Deep on our
second.
I don't know. 42.
Yes, there you go.
There you go.
Yes, and anywhere that you go, you must always bring a
towel.
Yes,
there we go.
All right.
Yeah.
How about have you seen any Stanley Kubrick film?
No.
Do you know who Stanley Kubrick is?
2001: A Space Odyssey.
I don't know who that is, but I mean, like, I probably seen.
All right, name them.
2001: Space Odyssey, Clockwork Orange,
Full Metal Jacket,
The Shining,
Eyes Wide Shut.
Any of those movies you've seen?
No.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Full Metal Jacket.
No.
I said that one. But Full Metal Jacket is terrible once they leave boot camp. So
you gotta see The Shining.
Yeah, you only have to watch like the first. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch up until they get done with the miso horny girl, and then you can just turn it off.
Yeah. Wait till the last day of September, and when it strikes 12:01 in October, put in The Shining.
Yeah.
And you'll thank me forever.
Yeah. Yeah, but don't do it home alone.
Okay. No.
Have people
and
in
do
the
it
home with you,
and also make sure that you have at least one light on somewhere.
Yeah.
Who is Steven Spielberg?
Hold on, I've heard of him before. Wait, give me a second.
Mm-hmm. He's the cute guy from Dairy Queen.
At least she didn't say, "Oh, he's."
I think we need a transfusion shortly.
Do you know his relationship with Reese's Pieces?
Oh, that's going to be a stretch.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That's going to be a real stretch.
Wait.
Does the phrase...
Hey, I've seen E.T. That used to be my movie growing up.
Steven Spielberg was the director.
I don't know that I've ever heard E.T. was my jam. I don't know that I've ever actually heard...
I used to love
watching the phrase that I'm using from now
Steven
on.
Steven Spielberg.
E.T., that's my jam.
Steven Spielberg was the director of E.T. He's also done many other movies.
Okay, so
can you name one other movie he may have made?
No, but I've probably seen another one of his films.
I think we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yes. Do you know that line?
No.
I think we need a bigger boat.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
A movie about a big shark.
Yeah. Yes.
Could you name a movie about a big shark? If you say Deep Blue, I will throw you out this window.
Like Sharknado. I'm more afraid of Free Willy.
No. That doesn't ring a bell?
I know that, but I don't remember.
My 9-year-old son knows that music and who wrote it.
John Williams. I will maintain my dying day. Like, the true test of courage is underwater headphones playing the Jaws theme.
Yep.
True test of courage.
I've actually tried to do that, except it's really hard to hear underwater.
Yeah. This is my early assessment.
Yeah. I know the movie, but I don't know like any other
Jaws, baby.
Yeah,
Jaws.
Well, I know that.
Right.
And of course, Jaws. The Revenge. Don't forget Jaws, the Revenge. Because
here's another question. Are you familiar with the character Indiana Jones?
Yes.
Who played Indiana Jones, and what other?
I don't know who would have played it.
Okay,
Han Solo did.
Okay. Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford was the actor who played Indiana Jones. He also played in Star Wars Han Solo.
My son is named after Indiana Jones.
Guys, I got to be honest. As much as we're laughing, I think all we're really proving here is that she's young and hot and has a life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
You're old and not and do not.
Yeah, that's right.
That's He's absolutely right. But I think what we have assessed here, we have assessed that she is in dire need.
She's in critical condition.
You know
condition.
What? And hold on. Do you want treatment? Do you accept treatment?
I'll accept it.
Okay.
It's so true.
Do you accept the power of the pop culture here?
Can we brand her with a lightsaber?
We will infuse the demons.
I just don't like.
By the power of never leaving the basement in the 80s, I compel the lack of knowledge demons upon from her.
I just picture her with the, plasma there, and you having the things.
The eyes like. Right, so those are called tauntauns. You see those?
It's just
if you think they're smelly on the outside, just wait a minute.
Another Star Wars reference. Once you've seen the movie, you'll get it.
So we need the pop culture faith healing revival.
Yeah, that's what we need. Yeah.
So you are willing to accept it.
Yeah, I'm willing to accept it. I just don't.
The power of
I
Lucas don't, compels
let
you.
Let her talk. The patience.
Hold on. Shush.
I couldn't get myself to watch like older films. Like,
okay, hold on.
Boring to
describe
me.
Like, older. Pick a date and be careful.
I feel like she gets this message on
I'm
Facebook
gonna
a lot
say,
too.
Actually, yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna say like 80 and back.
80 and back.
Okay, would 77 if it began a series? Would 77 be okay?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Okay, that's where we're going to begin.
Because
it's
we
not
can
in black
start
and white or anything.
No.
Right.
So it's still a talkie.
Right, yeah. Or dang damn it.
That's when Star Wars starts, 77.
Star Wars starts
you
in 77.
Ain't heard
and
yet.
We can start there and move forward and actually get you caught up.
And
we're just going to hit the basics. Yeah.
Right, and just the basics, right.
And we're going to assign each other tasks. Maybe we give David more the technical side. Maybe
I can give her, or I can give you guys the starting point, which was the list of required viewing that I gave my wife before we could get married.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
What was the number one movie on that list?
Star Wars.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
She had seen none of the Star Wars movies. What? She had never seen a John Hughes film. I'm like, look.
But did she see The Godfather?
No. No, she's Italian and had never seen
it. Oh, wait a minute. She's adopted
like the
then or something. Because you can't.
Family name's Gilio, man.
Oh, and had never seen The Godfather.
Wait. What did you just say?
Putting it on the list.
What did you just say, Liz?
He said his wife was Italian.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You're Italian. And
I said, I'm Italian. What's that? I don't understand.
And you've never seen The Godfather?
Oh.
It's on the list.
Okay. Oh. Really this is worse than I
thought. Yeah, thank you. This is getting, sorry. I mean, we're going to have to start amputating limbs here.
Look at how they massacred my
boy. I'm making one off for a camera.
I'm
going to
hate my daughter's wedding. Not in friction.
You say,
I'm Corleone. Give me justice. But you don't ask it with respect.
Excuse me, Don Giovanni. I can't understand a word you're saying.
Don Giovanni?
Wait, I just came back from the dentist. He forgot to take out the cotton balls. Anybody get that reference? Yeah. No?
No?
Okay.
It's a dumb one.
Okay, Simpsons, Family Guy.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Futurama.
Yeah. I don't like Futurama. I don't watch it. But you're
aware of it and you know bits and pieces of it. Okay.
My Little Pony. Do you know what a brony is?
Yes, and I think it's so dumb.
Okay.
It was in high school. It's like a couple years back. All
right. She is going to a comic. This is for a comic convention. Do you know what a furry is?
Never go with a furry to a second location.
Go with a furry to a second location. I will tell you what it is off air because I don't want to put it over air.
Does this quote ring any bells at all?
No, forget the glass woodhouse. Just give me the picture. For I am a sinner in the hands of an angry God. Bloody Mary, full of vodka, blessed are you among cocktails. Pray
that's
for me
Archer.
Now at the hour of my death.
Yeah, you gotta.
I finally loaded up all of our clips.
That's Archer, which
no,
is.
See,
a,
I don't like Adult Swim. I never did.
Okay. Archer's a great show, though.
Adult Swim,
I don't like.
It?
No.
No.
That's FX.
It's FX.
Yeah. It's same.
No, it's not. Archer is fantastic.
It really is.
But
listen, Deal Emile.
Yeah, it's fine. Wow.
But Liz,
I'm gonna scoot over here so when the chair comes flying, it doesn't hit me.
But Liz, in return, like trading, like you know, what could you teach us as a group? Do you think?
I mean, obviously, you guys know more than me.
No.
But
no,
like,
no.
is there something in like pop culture or
something
like
you can teach us
something
a term.
That we probably might not know?
We're looking
term
for a fair
or
trade.
Not even in pop culture. What is
music? Like, anything?
Yeah.
Like, can you give us the origins of Bay?
Oh.
I don't like when people use that, but it's like before something. I forgot what the last two.
Danish for poop.
Yeah, that is the term, but like, wasn't
it really is.
Yeah.
Can I go this far back?
Fear not, ranger, barbarian, magician, thief.
Oh my God!
Cavalier and acrobat.
No, that's gone. Oh wait, what is this?
Who was that?
That was Venger, the force of evil. I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Farthest
took me
like
a minute.
That was like early 80s.
All right, so she's got to teach us something.
No,
yeah.
I'm just saying, I think the farthest that like I have honestly can remember is like I used to watch the Jetsons.
Okay, very good.
All right, no, that's a good place to start.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Jetsons
Astro,
is good,
you know.
Yep. Flintstones, did you watch Flintstones?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Smurfs?
Yes.
No, not
Fraggle Rock.
Damn it!
Ooh.
I don't think so.
Muppets.
What does this sound mean to you?
It's a video game. Wait, isn't
we played
Pac-Man?
Yeah.
There
very good.
All right.
Very good.
There's hope.
All right.
There is hope.
No, clear. You always leave the batting cage after a hit.
Right.
Thank you, everybody. You leave them wanting more. But you got to think next week of something you can teach us. It can be anything that you don't think we know because we're much older than you. And
what to do when I get that not so fresh
feeling.
You got
to teach us something.
Exactly. Like, tell us what the kids are doing nowadays.
I will give you an example. Today we were talking about songs, and Marv brought up a song called Watch Me Whip, Watch Me Nay Nay. And I had never heard that song before. So I watched the video, and now it's stuck in my head.
Yeah.
I mean, like, those are
I have a different version
songs
of
that,
it, though.
Everyone does, though.
What's that?
But see, I had never heard of that before.
My kids can do it.
Yeah. No, I mean, now that I saw the video, I'm like, oh, so it's every pop popular dance move for like the last 15 years all thrown into one song.
I
get it.
I feel like every song is coming Superman, out with a dance. Yep. So every song
of course, it includes the stanky leg, which stanky is one of my favorite dances ever.
The Superman.
We got to wrap it up, but you think of something to teach us. I want to thank David for working the board, Rochelle for all she does, Liz for being Liz, and my cool co-host Marv, and Jimmy, of course. And then I want to thank our guests. We had, first off, Joseph Battaglia, always great. Mo El Shatri, and then Connor Cuppy.
Cuppy.
Jeez, oh, Pete's, man.
Thank the guys who brought the pizza, too. Yeah. Thank Rochelle for getting pizza.
And we'll see everybody next week, Tuesday.
Yep.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.